the lesson was on keeping the eyes on the prize. This is sort of a follow-up. Wasn't intended to be that, but I think it kind of becomes that. There's something to consider. You know, we think about the grace of God and bringing salvation to us, and we should all be so thankful and appreciative of that. But also, there's a whole lot in the Bible about instructions on how we ought to live, how we ought to conduct ourselves. And one of the things I marvel is that these instructions that were given almost 2,000 years ago are so relevant today. And that actually led to this lesson. I've been had it on the back burner, so to speak, or for a while. And we'll be looking at something taken from the Sermon on the Mount, teaching of Jesus, in just a few moments ago. But something like the reading that we just had a few moments ago from Philippians 4. And I think about the peace that passes or surpasses all understanding or all comprehension. It's just there. You know, and we know when we have it in our grasp. Now it might be there in different measures and as the ebb and flow of time and events goes on. But I think we all desire that kind of peace. I don't think there's anybody who would wake in the morning and think, boy, I hope today's just full of turmoil. Or someone that pillows their head of a night and thinks that. I hope tomorrow is more turmoil than today or something along that. No, we all want that kind of peace. I think that's the thing. But then also, I'm reminded now, to gain that peace, there's something that must be done. And to simplify things, let me just point out the right idea. Kind of a starting point, and then everything else relates to the starting point. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 4, and we want to take a look at verses 23 through 27. Now, there's a lot of passages throughout the Scriptures that mention this kind of thing, but I like what's said, particularly here in Proverbs chapter 4. Now, starting in verse 23, "You keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And now he's going to tell you how to keep your heart. "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Now, one of the things that you ought to notice here, if you're going to keep your heart, do it with all diligence, you know, make an effort here now. But everything that's said in there, in verses 25 through 27, are things that you and I need to do individually in keeping our heart. And that's something that's important. So one of the things that we're going to do, now turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at some things this morning that are help in keeping our path straight and keeping our focus on the path and not swerving off to the right or to the left, you know, not getting distracted by things. When I see this, I immediately think about driving a car. Now, whether you came a short distance or afar today, were there distractions on the way? Inside and outside of the car. I go over to my son's every once in a while around Route 20, and there's a radio station over there, and they've got this car parked out by the road. I mean, the front end of that thing is just tore to pieces. And they've got a sign out there about texting and driving. Well, it's a distraction if you're texting and driving. That could be inside the car. And then there are things that are outside of the car that are distractions. Just the other day, we were going along, Martha driving, and we came up and things were kind of backed up a little bit. We saw all the flashing lights and one thing and another. And what had happened was a small car had hit a patch of water, hydroplane, went down over the bank, landed in high weeds, so it was a soft landing. But as other cars went by, now you know what they did, don't you? You know, they're all giving it that. And you know the principle involved, you know, and you go along and there's something, oh, look over there. You know, and you might steer in that direction. The distraction caused that, didn't it? But now we had control of this. We don't have to let things distract us, like text messages and what goes on the side of the road and things of that nature. But now if they do distract us, what happens when we're driving a car? Well, we'll swerve off to the right or to the left, won't we? That's when we get ourselves in trouble. So I think about that when I see Proverbs chapter 4. And I think about life. There are a lot of distractions in life. Think of whatever they are. That can just cause us to get off track. Cause us to go right or left and we end up where? Well, we end up in a bad place. So it, you know, the whole thing though, it sounds simple. Yeah. But it takes effort to accomplish this. And if we do that, and if we manage to not be distracted and go to the right or to the left and stay on the course, I think we can have the peace that passes understanding. It does necessitate a firm focus on the long haul to accomplish this. So our study that's starting now centers on Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, where there are instructions here given to us on how to make and keep something priority one. Let's read those passages. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now what I'd like for us to do in regard to these passages is to take a look at the big picture. You know, to take it all in. Now, there's no question about it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 23 is the key passage in this context. No question about that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. No question about it. But you know what? It's not the only passage there. And as a matter of fact, all the rest of them in the passage
are important also. All the other passages bear on this passage as well. And they lend to it. They're part of it. Everything that Jesus has to say here.
But now, what it is in the other passages, now, you know, besides verse 33, the other passages, they help us to not be distracted. And I think that's the thing that we've got to guard so much today. There's an expression that's used here in one form or another throughout the context, and that is, and it depends on your translation, it's either take no thought or do not worry or do not be anxious. It depends on translations. But it all comes from the same word. And I think it's good advice, you know, not to worry. And, you know, it's something that we shouldn't let, you know, slip into. But what is it that causes us to take thought or to worry or be anxious about something? Well, a lot of times it's things that are real, things that we might face every day or face occasionally, whatever it might be. And they do give us some difficulty and some problems. But we're supposed to be able to handle these and not let them sidetrack us from what the real goal is. That's right up there at the top, you know, of that last slide. And that is about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, Mr. Vine says that this word here means to have a distracting care. However, that's translated up there. No thought, no worry, don't be anxious. Distract. Thayer says it means to be troubled with cares. In other words, with the idea, well, it's just almost overwhelming. Now, keep your finger there in Matthew, but back where we were reading just a few moments ago, in Philippians chapter 4, where Brother Bruce read for us, in verse 6, it brings this up. In connection with this peace that passes understanding, now one thing you got to have a handle on is this very thing. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. You know, don't be overcome with these cares. And what else does he say? Well, he goes on to say, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If you're being anxious and worrying and caring and taking thought, however, about a number of things, is that going to interfere with your prayer life? And you and I both know the answer to that. Likely it will. Sure it will. You know, I can remember, well, I'm trying to think when it was now. About 2000, 2001. I get a phone call from my mother-in-law. Our daughter, they'd been married a couple years, something like that. They were living in Indiana, where Martha's family's all from. I get a phone call and said that our daughter had been in a car wreck. She said, I think she's all right. And then I got one call after another. And every call was worse than the first one. And everything else in life for me at that moment disappeared. It's just all gone. And all I could think of was getting Daniel and Martha, and we had to go to Indiana. She was hurt. She had a number of broken bones. She's going to have surgery on both legs. Whatever else. And we were loading up, and Martha was on her way to get Daniel. I packed some bags while she was going to get him. And I was out there and I was throwing things into the back of the car, if you can imagine. Well, I wasn't being very careful about that. You're just overwhelmed. And I just stopped. And right before I broke down, I thought to myself, have you prayed about this? No, I hadn't. But I did then. and things were a little better from my standpoint. Several years later, I was down visiting my parents, and I always attended at Silver Street Boulevard church there. And the man that was teaching the class, he made a point on Philippians 4 and verse 6. He says, it says there to be anxious about. Now, there are things that we need to have some concern for, but don't let them, you know, just dominate everything. They distract us, get us away from what we ought to be doing. But he said, so don't do that, but rather pray for everything. And his point that he made was, we get this backwards. We care and we're anxious and we worry about everything and oftentimes don't pray for anything. I thought, good point. And I thought back to that day, you know, when I was doing that, and I'd stop, get things on back where they ought to be. So yeah, be careful or anxious for nothing. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Now, what I'd like for us to do, I've got this chart here. And I thought this is something that's interesting. I want us to look at verse 25 and verse 31 in Matthew chapter 6. Now, look at what's said there. Look what's covered. In verse 25, it covers what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and then about your body. It really, you know, what you put on. Your clothing and such. And it doesn't mean there that just that you're covered up. It means what it looks like and other things along that line. Then when you get over to verse 31, well, what is it there? Well, look at that. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? Isn't that interesting? That you start off talking about that and you end up over here with that. And what's the point? The point is, don't let those things dominate. Don't put this high premium on those things and that's all that it's about and nothing else. Sound familiar? Now keep in mind, he was saying this 2,000 years ago. So obviously 2,000 years ago, this was a problem. But 2,000 years later, where we're at, that's not a problem, is it? These things aren't distractions here, are they? Where are you living if you think that they're not distractions? They're in the magazines that you read, the newspapers you read, the shows on television, the commercials. They're just everywhere. Do you think that the world can get a grip on this? That don't be concerned about those things? That's just about all that the world is concerned about. A few other things. But these things, are they chief? Are they big? Everybody's about this, you know. There's a whole network on TV that's called the Food Network, for goodness sake. And then there's other shows on there, and all they do is sit around and talk about fashion and other things like that. Obviously, I will never be a guest on that show. But am I right or not? And the world would look at this, and you come along here and says, well, you know, the Bible says don't pay attention to these things, and they're not that big a deal. The world will look at you and say, are you crazy? And do we slip into this? Does it get us? It's got an attraction to it. Of course it does. And sometimes it takes everything we've got just to, you know, flip that switch and to turn this stuff off. Yeah. It's a big thing. Now, in between those verses, you've got verses 26 and 30. Look at them here for just a moment. Because they're talking about this very thing. The thing that are out there on the bookends, you know, out there on the ends. What have they got in the middle? Yeah. That's what it is. The fowls of the air. Are they worrying about what they're going to wear? And verse 27, boy, this one strikes home. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? That's his height. So, can you worry, does worry allow you to be taller?
Does worry allow you to be better physically? No matter what it is. And I understand sometimes it's hard to not let that just take over. But is that going to help matters? Any? No. Does worrying about a loved one? I could, we made mention of Martha's brother in the hospital. He's in serious shape. It was really bad yesterday. A little better today. We could rush down there to the ICU and stand right there next to the bed and wring our hands and worry about him, every fiber of our being worrying about him. And I understand. He's a loved one. He's a family member. But no matter how much worrying we might do, though well-intentioned, that's not going to make him better. I'm not trying to sound cold. We know these things. And yet we allow these things sometimes to just come in and take over. Even well-intentioned things. You ever know anybody that's all? We had a lady out in West Virginia. She was in her 70s, I think, when we moved there. And she'd sit there in that rocking chair. Half the time she didn't come to service. Well, more than half the time, about a third of the time, quarter of the time, she wasn't there for services. What's going on? Well, she's sitting there in the chair worrying about dying. You know what happened? Eventually, she did pass away. I guess, she's right. But I thought to myself, sitting like that around and worrying about that and everything, how about living? What's that do with living? Well, it just takes a big chunk of living out when all you're doing is worrying about dying. And you can't change a thing. It's pointing out the man wants to die. Then comes judgment. What about verse 28? Again, raiment and the lilies of the field. And God will clothe the grass of the field, and that's just a temporary thing, but He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. The whole point of this is to get us to realize that, first of all, God's going to provide. Now, there are limitations there. He's not going to give everybody everything that they want. As a matter of fact, that seems to be only a goal that takes place in this country. That there's just somebody's going to provide and there's no limitations. No. That's not the way it is with God. No. God's going to provide, but there's limitations on this. And isn't that what it says down there in verse 33 in the latter part of that? All these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of this. Now, it might not be exactly as we want or as much as we think that it ought to be, but it'll be enough. Like the birds and the flowers and other things like that. It'll be fine. You go back to, I think it's in Psalms 37. Where the psalmist says, I've never yet seen my people begging for bread. Now, there were times whenever they were disobedient. But if they're my people and they're faithful, God will take care of them. Only when you turn away does that not happen. And now another thing to learn here is that there are some things that are just simply beyond our control. There are. High time that we own up to that. No amount of worry and concern and wringing of the hands and whatever else it might be is going to change any of that. And then lastly, many things that distract are soon gone. Yeah. I'm reading a biography of William McKinley. And I'm looking at this, and there were these things that were great concerns in the country during his lifetime, leading up to and including his presidency. And I'm looking at this, and the other day I thought to myself, I got no idea what that's talking about. But it was this great concern. It's all gone now. It's all gone. People that spent so much time anxious about it, wringing their hands, oh my goodness. Really something to think about, isn't it? Look at the big picture, see? Look at what it says right there. Now, there are some things that are serious and often
they require our attention. Of course there are. And some may rise to a level demanding quite a bit of our attention. Sure. No question about that. But I look at verse 32 here. And I think that verse 32 where it says, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And your Father knows that you got need of these things. I think of verse 32 is that old thing about a slap in your face, you know, to get your attention. You know how that works. That sometimes a person gets so far removed from reality or whatever it is or where they ought to be. And you know how they used to do in the old movies, you know, they'd slap the person across their face and they'd shake their head. Oh, they're back with us now. I think that's what this is here. To say, you know, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. In other words, how are you any different from that? Well, yeah, that would work. And then to put things in real life, your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Sure, there's a need for things to eat and drink and for the body, for clothing and other things. Sure, there's a need for that. But not the overreaching that goes on so much in worldly endeavors. I think there's just times when we need this kind of a slap in the face. Get us to wake up and to remind us. Those are not the things that are important. What's important is in verse 33. That you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Do not let distractions pull you off course. So priority one. This is what priority one is. You seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now what I want to point out to you is that the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that's the object. That's what you're to seek. I have more to say on this in a future lesson. But the seeking, that's the action that's required. Now we all know that. It's a verb. Action required. But the question then comes out, are we seeking this? Okay. And then, how diligent are we seeking this? How does it compare to other things? How does it compare to things like eating, drinking, and things for the body? More or less? How does it compare? What's crowding what out? What is it that matters to us? Again, the world just thinks this is just insanity. That something like this would be more important than those other things. It says first there, and that first means just exactly that. It means before anything else. And the other things that are necessary, but you keep them in the context. This is what's first, before all these other things. So keeping first things first requires strong commitment. I think it's, can't remember who I got this from. I don't remember. So, but anyway, it was a quote that said, you know, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. Sounds simple. Really? How come it's so hard to do? Keep first things first. Sounds simple. Why is this so hard to do? And how do we do this? What's some advice along this line? Well, here's what we need to consider. Now, we're back on this idea of distractions. Distractions come from varied angles. No question about it. And I think that might differ for different people. And it might be strong for this person from this angle and not for another, and so on it goes, wherever they're coming from. I'm not going to present every one of them. I've got some of the more common ones here. For example, if you go to Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus has this to say. He said to all of them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I think a lot of times we look at that and we think this is what it says. Let him deny himself certain things. Well, that might be what's said other places, but that's not what's said here. You're not just to deny certain things. You deny yourself. There's too many times when we elevate our personal likes and dislikes and our worth above everything else. I'm it. I'm the most important thing that there is that's going on, and I think we see this in the world. You know, right now, this business of the individual being so high and mighty and elevated above everyone else, it's all about me. All about me. The me first and nobody else, even in the picture generation. That's the time that we're living in. And so all these things matter, you know. And we just fall in, but deny self, me, you, personally. We got to deny this. I think about Moses and God at the end, you know, and what he did with Moses. Moses, for a time, when he was raised as Pharaoh's child, you know, Moses really thought he was something. And then there was a period of time in the middle part of Moses' life where God's showing him, you're really nothing. And Moses had to learn that lesson. He had to deny self, I'm really nothing. And then what did he do with the last part of Moses' life? He showed Moses what God could do with nothing. If we want to see change, dramatic change, if we want that peace that passes understanding, one of the first things we're going to have to do is deny ourselves. That's right. It's God. It's His Son that ought to be on the pedestal. Not me. Not you. The second one here, this is kind of always a tough one. But it is what Jesus said. You go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 37. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace on earth, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Not even family is to get in the way. Family can be a distraction. This and that and the other and so on. Oh, well, we just can't come to services because we've got relatives that will be in for a visit. So bring them with you. Bring them with you. And something along, we let this be a distraction to us. You know, both of our kids were in sports. Jenny was in band, and they were good at everything that they did. And there were lots of times on Wednesdays and sometimes on Sundays when there were things that were scheduled. She had them with the band on Sunday. Daniel sometimes had a game or something. And it would have been easy. Oh, let's let them go ahead and do it. And then, well, I need to be there, you know, to watch and so on. After all, it's my children. Yeah. I remember telling someone one time, I was talking about how, you know, we didn't let the kids go to ball games on Wednesday or on Sunday or during a meeting. And they said, well, you know, they'll only be kids once. That's right. They'll only be kids once. Yeah. But my reply wasn't directed toward that. I said, Martha and I are trying to raise our children, and we're concerned about their souls, not about them being ball players or a saxophone player, clarinet player, whatever Jenny was playing at the time. She played them all. That's the important thing. And I'm glad that our children learned the lesson. They told me one time they thought that they had the meanest parents on the face of the earth. But then now they're grown and got kids of their own. They said, we're grateful. And if you've done that, I hope that your children have told you the same thing, that they're grateful for that, for what that meant. But our families cannot be a distraction. They can be. We can't let that keep us away. You seek first the kingdom. That's what matters. And our children are watching us. All the time that this is going on, all the decisions that we make, they're watching us. We're going to have an influence there. What are they seeing? Are they seeing from us, oh, well, you know, I guess Bible study on Wednesday isn't that big a deal. But, you know, Mom and Dad don't go. You're not telling them that. Could be you're showing them that. It's something to consider. Then there's another one here. And for lack of a better term, I've got business or employment. How do you want to look at it? Your job? Can that get in the way? Of course it can. Of course it can. Now, I'm not suggesting that a person needs, you know, to go out here and quit their job or something like that. But get to where you could manage it. Don't let that, you know, become a distraction. You know, there's folks that will take a job on or take an extra job, and then it gets in the way. I look back here at Matthew chapter 4, and when Jesus was calling his disciples, it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, that he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They're casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And what'd they do? They straightway left their nets and followed him. And then there's James and John, and they do the same thing in 21 and 22. What about their business and their employment? Oh, we'd follow you, Jesus, but we've got... No, they didn't do that. Because this is something that comes first, you see. And then Luke chapter 14 and verse 33, we'll go over there. Luke chapter 14, verse 33. Well, before we get to that, let me back up on the business employment. I realize that there are some occupations where, you know, a person might be called upon to miss. There are things like that. You know, there's folks that are in the service. I understand that, and I've worked with people or preached for places where people work shift work. I work shift work. You can work things out. There's no problem understanding if that's possible. But when it becomes the thing all the time, that's it, all the time. I miss because of work. I miss because of work. I can't get there. It's my job. When that's the thing all the time, it's time to reconsider. Not just an occasional thing, but when it's all the time. That's where the issue is. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 33, when you talk about everything else, finally down here, Jesus said, likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, just whatever else it is, whatever it takes to keep the focus on seeking the kingdom and his righteousness. That's where it ought to be. I wish I knew how many times over the years that people have come to me and they've said something about, well, I missed, you know, whenever it was. And then they would tell me the reason why. Oftentimes just leaving me stand there, you know, kind of just reeling. You know, I wish they hadn't told me. I don't know why they feel compelled to tell me. I don't know. I don't know. What would it mean if they got a pass from me? You know, it'd mean nothing. So you get a pass the preacher, and the preacher says, well, or something like that, which is what I usually do. I think to myself, how about explaining it to the Lord? Don't worry about me. worry about the preacher. We worry about, you know, the elders, so to speak. It's the Lord. Worry about the Lord. What'd you do? And everything else, whatever it is, don't let it get in the way. Now back to Matthew chapter 6, one more passage there, right at the end, and then the lesson is yours. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, it says, finally, this is another one of those places where it's take no thought. You know, don't worry about this. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient unto the day are the troubles thereof and handling them. That's what this is all about. I can't do one single thing about tomorrow, neither can you, nor can we do anything about yesterday. I have wished, I'm using hyperbole here, a million times that I had a time machine. And I could go back in time and change some things. Don't have that. Can't go forward, can't go backward. Do anything about it. But here and now, do a lot about it. What can I do about right now? I can seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I can do that right now. I can. And interestingly, there's another passage I think that kind of ties in with this idea. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. What does that say? It says that today is the day of salvation. Today. This is the day to think about it and to do something about it. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today. Good advice. And so we need to be on guard about these distractions. Do something about them. Oh, well, I think I'll just go ahead and enjoy the eating, drinking, and the things for the body kind of thing. I'll do that today. Tomorrow, I'll do something about that. Kind of reminds me of that table I got in the basement. I keep looking at it thinking, well, you know, tomorrow I'll clean that mess up. Well, how many tomorrows there's been, but it's still there. We procrastinate, but no. Today is the day of salvation. We need to do something about that. If you're not a child of God, believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, repent of your sins, be baptized. Or perhaps you are a child of God and you've fallen by the wayside. And, you know, what's happened is what we've been talking about. There have been some distractions that have come along. And guess what? They got the upper hand. It'll happen. Sure, it'll happen. And you say, oh my, but look what they pulled me away from the Lord. And you think, and you say to yourself, you regret that kind of thing has happened. Good. You've got some regret involved here. Act upon that. Determine to get your life back on track. Get away from these distractions. Put them away from you. And make things right. If you have a desire to do that, we'd be glad to help you to do that also. Whatever the case might be, if you're subject to the gospel invitation, why don't you come while together we stand and sing.